by reducing inequality in women's access to sexual and reproductive health, you can help reduce economic inequality. And we find that throughout the developing world.
And would you say that this is new, or are there any findings from this report that are particularly new?
We carried out a lot of research on developing countries and showed what progress they made or how they might have faced setbacks in reducing inequalities in certain areas of reproductive health, such as access to contraception, access to skilled birth attendants, and access to antenatal care.
What do economic inequality and family planning have in common?
Family planning empowers a woman to decide whether, when, or how often she's going to become pregnant. Typically, we find that in developing countries, it's the poorest 20% of women who have little or no access to family planning. That means that a poor woman in those countries is vulnerable to unintended pregnancy, and unintended pregnancy can keep a woman out of the paid labor force. It can, if it happens to an adolescent girl, it can keep her out of school, it can jeopardize her future, and that can affect her earnings potential in the long run. And with reduced earnings, you know, her household suffers, her community suffers, her whole nation suffers. But we make the link between how much control a woman has over her life and how that translates into economics. And, you know, again, we show that by reducing these inequalities in access to sexual reproductive health, it can make a big difference in reducing economic inequalities that affect the whole country.
What would you say the greatest barrier is in achieving equal access to reproductive health rights?
In 18 countries, this is cited in the report, 18 countries have laws on the books that require a husband's permission for a wife to get a job. There are institutional barriers. You know, some are even related to, let's say, child care and maternity leave. 60% of women in the world have no legal right to maternity leave. If a poor woman has a child and doesn't have access to child care or can't afford child care, she's going to stay out of the paid labor force. That's going to keep her in poverty. That's going to keep her children in poverty. That's going to lead to intergenerational poverty. Economics is just the tip of the inequality iceberg.
Could you talk a little bit about the progress that has been made in some countries that were cited in the report in overall access to services and in reducing inequalities?
Yeah, some of the countries in the report that have made great progress in both improving overall access to services and then also reducing inequalities between income groups. Some of those countries are Cambodia, Rwanda, I think Armenia might even be another one of them. But these countries, particularly Cambodia and Rwanda, and I'm now thinking about Senegal too, have adopted what one might call pro-poor policies in improving access to sexual and reproductive health services. And so the report shows that over about a 10-year period, these countries in particular, Senegal, Rwanda, Cambodia, have made a lot of progress, not only in improving the overall quality and quantity of services, but also in increasing access to life-saving services for the poorest 20% of the population. Unless you reduce inequalities in sexual and reproductive health and rights, you're not going to make much progress in reducing economic inequality. And with extreme economic inequality, you're not going to make any progress, or very little progress, rather, in eliminating poverty. And as you know, the number one sustainable development goal is to eliminate poverty.